This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Dude, this chair is the worst chair in the world. There's something going up.
Look at this one. This one's it's breaking. Look, if I lean over, I'm going to fall off. The whole top piece is shattered. I think all the bolts are out, but one.
Now I'm sitting on the floor, but at least it's comfortable.
Is it going higher?
Nope.
That's it?
That's it.
You're like back down, 18 man. Inches off the ground. You are straight low riding.
Low rider. Don't go too fast now.
All right, you guys ready to get into the show?
Yeah, let's start it.
Yes, like always.
Come along now. Take a ride with the BT. Let's get together and take a look behind the scenes. Talking about Kevin and Bean. Come on, let's start the show. Everybody grab your Vaseline. The B Team. Yeah. The B Team. The B Team.
Oh, that's right.
The B Team, baby.
What up, people? DJ Omar Khan on one side. Hey. Former producer Lightning in the middle. Current producer of the Kevin and Bean Show, Dave the King of Mexico.
Hi,
on
guys.
The other side.
How are you doing?
It's the B Team.
Yeah, I can't believe we're back for another one.
We are. Yes. Did you guys go on the road trip that went, on a Tuesday, you were in Orlando, and then 3 days later, you were back in L.A.?
I did.
You did?
Oh, that wasn't me.
No, that was me.
That was
yeah.
How'd
that go?
That's insane, dude.
It was crazy. A friend of mine says, you know what? I've got a work truck that I need to pick up in Orlando. I'm going to fly out there and just drive it back. It'll be fun. Straight across the 10 freeway. Just blaze. But us, if you need a co-pilot, totally joking. He calls me back two hours later and says, got you a ticket. So, and that was on a Monday night. The next night, we're on a plane to Orlando. We have drinks with some friends.
You go to Disney World. You go to Universal.
None of that happened.
Have a good time.
Got in a Toyota Tacoma and just hauled ass 900 miles a day.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Why go across the country for a Toyota Tacoma?
I mean, it's wrapped. It's got the company logos. He owns it. He had to retrieve it.
But they don't wrap them here in California?
He owns it. He's not going to just give it away.
Is that 8 hours in the car?
It was more like 15 to 16 hours a day.
Wow.
Yeah.
So it was like a state a day until Texas?
Texas was, almost 2 days.
Yeah, because Texas
a day and a half.
What takes 2 days to get to
that
Texas,
could
right?
not have been fun.
I loved it. When we got to L.A., I wanted to keep going. I wanted to drive right off to San Monica Pier.
Why? I mean, I know you got to see a lot of the country, but you're in a freaking car just driving.
We didn't get to see a lot of the country. I mean, we went through, Mississippi, along the 10. The Gulf Coast.
So, yeah.
And so it was fun.
Try to explain it, because I went on this road trip this past...
you hate road trips. I get that.
Well, no. I could drive to Vegas. I could drive to Laughlin. I could even probably drive to San Francisco.
Okay.
6 hours. Yeah. No problem. But we drove to Wyoming, which was, I think it was like 18 hours out to make it, and we spread it over 3 days, and our drive time was maybe 5 to 6 hours a day.
Okay.
It was hell in the car, and we would drive like 3 hours and then stop for lunch
out. But were you driving an RV? Were you driving a normal car? Because an RV would suck.
In an RV, I think it would be a little bit better because you don't have to be restricted into your seatbelt.
Yeah, maybe.
You know what I mean?
You're slower and you're white knuckling it because you're so wide.
If you're driving.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? But if you rotate, I don't think that would be a big problem. Oh, yeah. That's the issue. If you're driving, it sucks.
Especially driving through Utah.
Utah sucks.
Yeah.
There's nothing out there.
Well, try Texas. It's worse.
And why do you like it?
Something about just driving. I can't explain.
I'm down with it. So,
really?
Yeah. I mean, I don't drive cross country or anything, but if I drive to Vegas, I enjoy it. The only drive I hate is the one in Laughlin because there's nothing to see.
But there's nothing to see going to Vegas either.
Yeah,
what is there to see? There's a bunch of desert.
It's just beautiful.
It's not beautiful.
It is beautiful.
I go, but once you make the drive once, when you do it again. What's the enjoyment there?
Especially when you drive at night and you see the stars and the mountains on the side. It's
really
cool. I don't know, man.
You're
Mr.
I want to take a plane instead of drive to Vegas.
Well, yeah, that's true.
Then
if you're going to drive, it's not that bad.
Look at Creepy Mugs. looking in the studio.
What's he doing? He's looking through the window.
He's wearing that Trey Cool mask.
He has a rubber Trey Cool mask on him. That was very disconcerting.
Yeah.
A little odd. Well, so this is Lightning, and I had a great time on my trip. Thank you for asking. And I'm back.
No one asked the B team.
No one asked. I'm just telling you because I know you don't give a rat's ass. We have some email. If I can get to this really quick, and then we have a guest I think you'll be excited about.
Cool.
This is from Mike Tarek. Hola, B team. I've been listening to Kevin and Bean
Wait, we're going to do the inbox.
Oh, God, yeah.
Ooh, baby, we're going to check the inbox.
Got
baby,
intros for all these lightning. Got intros.
We're not talking fart box. Baby, we're not talking cat's box. Baby, we're going to check the inbox.
It's like every time we do the Wheel of Bad Animal Voices, Kevin always messes it up. So Lightning's our Kevin.
There's something in the water. There's got to be something in the water.
It's the way I was trained for 20 years. You know what I mean? Jump right in.
Go.
Pool's empty. Doesn't matter. Jumping in. Okay, so this is from Mike Tarek. Hola, B-Team. I've been listening to the Kevin and Bean Show since their debut in 91. When I was in 8th grade, after reliving the Bleeda and Reseda event through the B-Team episode, my friends and I started discussing whatever happened to Michael the Maintenance Man. Michael the Maintenance Man sued us and then disappeared.
That is factual.
And that
the Bleeda in Reseda.
If you
Shout out to Jimmy the Sausage.
If you haven't listened to the last episode, guys, you were blown away by that audio, right?
It was unbelievable.
The Bleeda in Reseda was a fight against Michael the Maintenance Man, an actual maintenance man here at the building, or in our Burbank building, I should say, and Jimmy the Sausage, Jimmy Kimmel, when he was the sports guy. Yes, hi, Lightning, begins Rebecca Zimmer. I'm a longtime listener, and I'm loving the B-Team podcast, hearing those older bits, especially the first time Ralph was on the air, and the Bleeda and Reseda was fantastic. Not just interesting, but hilarious to find out how those things came about. Here's the thing. We dedicated the whole last show to the Bleeda and Reseda because it was such a milestone in the Kevin and Bean career.
What are you guys trying to say here?
I just think it was a milestone.
It was a huge thing that happened on the show. That's all you have to say.
No, but it was bigger than that.
Jimmy Kimmel.
What are you talking about?
Adam Carolla.
Right.
And that's what propelled both of them because then after that, Jimmy became a regular because Jimmy was just a caller.
Correct.
It was just. Jimmy, but he was already hired on the show.
Yes, but he was just the caller.
Yeah. It allowed us to bring him on the air full time. And even though he was here writing and doing stuff behind the scenes.
And then he lost his accent, which was good.
And that's how the world was introduced to Adam Carolla, that fight. And it was significant. I want to bring in someone who was not only there, but who organized the Bleeda and Reseda. Omar, will you dial this number?
Oh, yeah.
These are some solid hits we're looking at. They are not just rabbit punching.
A left by Michael the Maintenance Man, a left from Jimmy, a left and a right, and a left to Jimmy's head. Jimmy wobbled on that one. Michael the Maintenance Man backed up against the ropes. He's got it. Now they're back in the middle of the ring.
Hello, this is Frank.
There he is, Frank Murphy, former Kevin and Bean show producer, on the air with the B-Team. How you doing? You've got Frank, you have Omar, Lightning, and Dave.
What's up, man?
Say that again? Frankly, it sounds like your voice has gone through some distorter to me.
Oh, we know what it is. Here we go. Is that any better, Frank?
No, I'm hearing myself come back.
Oh, no, that's even worse.
Okay.
I don't know. Omar, what's going on here?
You should be good to go now.
There's over 100 years of radio.
We really got to get our ass together.
100 years of radio in this room.
We really got to get our ass together.
Yeah, we couldn't work that out.
That's fine.
Wow, sorry about that, Frank. Frank Murphy, we got you patched in from Knoxville, Tennessee. Frank, guys, was the former
producer. How's all y'all doing?
What?
I said, how's all y'all doing?
Yes, exactly. Frank was the morning show producer, so there was Laura Brown, then Maria D'Arcangelo, then Frank Murphy, then Cortland, then me, and then of course Dave.
Yeah.
So Frank, you have Omar, myself Lightning, and Dave, the King of Mexico, in the studio, and the Bleeda and Reseda was your baby, and I want you to tell us how it came about.
I loved listening to your podcast about it because it brought back so many memories. This is how bad it was for me. I couldn't remember that Adam Sandler was there. I knew there was some comedian who went on to become much more famous, and I thought, there's somebody like an Adam Sandler, probably, and it turns out it actually was.
That's funny.
So that podcast you guys did was fantastic. Well, I'll back up and tell you that when there was an opening for the producer job at K-Rock, there were three of us who were in the running for it. There was a guy named Johnny Vega who ended up going to work for Rick Dees and starting up
I remember that.
Yep.
Wow.
And then he started up a show prep sheet called The Complete Sheet, still a friend of mine to this day. There was another fella from San Diego, I believe, maybe named Jimmy Kimmel, who was up for the job. And then there was me. So I get the producer job, but Kevin Weatherly was a big fan of Jimmy Kimmel. They knew each other and from the San Diego connection. So he said, we got to hire Jimmy also. We got to find a way for Jimmy also. And when Mark Davis stepped down from being the show's writer, which was shortly after I became producer, that was all kind of in the works. Mark was already segueing into his other, you know, Richard Cheesy type stuff.
Why do you hate Mark?
So, yeah, wait, exactly.
Did
but
you
still
say that Kevin and Bean had writers?
Yes, what's we called them.
That's hilarious because they need one right now.
Yeah.
Well, let me put it that way. On the spreadsheet, that was how it was listed. It was talent, writer, producer.
Right.
So I was producer and Jimmy was hired as the writer. So he's sitting in there and we said, well, he wants to be on the air. He wants to develop a character. So he came up with the character of Jimmy the sports guy. And he would sit in my office and pretend to call in from home. And I would holler in the background as if I were his mother because we could both do
that's right.
New York accents.
That's
funny. Jimmy! So Jimmy would be doing sports in a Brooklyn accent and I would go, Jimmy, the sandwich is ready.
Yeah,
so your podcast, your last podcast, explained how they got into this argument because Jimmy made a racial comment. Michael got upset. So Jimmy's really hired. He's already on the show, and they decide they're going to do this battle, this Bleeda and Reseda, which...
Yeah, great job, by the way, with like Pat O'Brien. He sounded so smooth and tossing it to Kevin and Bean. I mean, everything, the whole production sounded amazing. Now, one of my, as a production guy, did you guys tape that, then edit it, and then air it, or was that all live?
No, it was live.
That's
live.
No way. that really flips me out.
Now, maybe for the replay, the best of tapes that you guys might have had, obviously you picked the best highlights of it, and remember that we stopped and played songs when necessary and commercials when necessary. But really, if you're just thinking about it, we know we had a schedule.
Right.
We knew Pat O'Brien obviously was more than capable of handling play-by-play, so he was perfect for that. John Wayne Bobbitt, who was the guy who had his unit sliced off, was doing a porn movie, and he was available, so we get him. So really, it's if you think about who's being offered to you as a guest at that time, you book them and say, but instead of being a regular guest, you're going to come to this fight, and you're going to be a celebrity judge. So that's how we get Adam Sandler. That's how we get John Wayne Bobbitt. The guy from Channel 9 was a sports guy, so we just invited him. Pat O'Brien, a sports guy who was a regular guest on the show,
yeah.
We invited him. The one thing I remember is Pat O'Brien said, take pictures, but I'm not going to be in the same frame as John Wayne Bobbitt. I don't want my picture made with him. And a little creepy memory for me, remember when John Wayne Bobbitt got himself sliced off? That was in the suburbs of Washington, D.C. You might remember that Bean and I both worked in Washington radio, and in fact, that's how we knew each other from 1984 on. Well, John Wayne Bobbitt shows up at the K-Rock event. I introduce him to myself. I say, hi, I'm Frank Murphy. I'm the producer of the show. And he gets this quizzical, you know, like the tilted head dog look. Wait, Frank Murphy, the producer? And his mind is clicking. He says, did you used to be on the old Don and Mike show in Washington? I'm like, yeah, that's me. So my claim to fame is being recognized by the guy who had his penis cut off.
Yes.
Yeah. Now, Frank, as a producer, when the guy start punching, well, when Mike starts punching Jimmy, and it's serious, did it ever cross your mind to, like, hey, maybe this has gone too far, let's not finish this out, or we should call it, or do I need to change the attitude?
Truly,
what was going on in your mind?
Whatever was going to be after the fight. Because as that's one of the advantages / disadvantages of being the producer is once you're – imagine like the old days where you have to play every song. You didn't have automation. So you put on a song. It goes for 3 minutes. You better be finding the next song to play after that one.
Yeah.
That's your whole mindset at that moment is not to sit and enjoy the song, but to play the next song and the next song and the next song and the commercials and so on. So once the event is underway, once the boxing match is underway, I'm done with that. I'm not worried about that anymore. I'm on to something else. So whatever we did after, the post-game show, if you will.
Yeah.
So, no, I didn't realize how badly Jimmy was getting his ass whooped.
Yeah. And it was awesome.
I would love to talk to you more about how I had to be the gatekeeper and stall Adam Carolla until Jimmy and Kevin and Bean made a decision that, they would talk to him. Because Adam, you know, thinks I'm the guy who stood between him and fame. But in reality, I was just buying time because all of these other people were also calling. And Adam's the one who made it through the gate, yet he still is mad at me for delaying him and holding him at the gate until we were ready for him.
He's going to hold that grudge forever. I'm sorry.
Why did you hate Adam Carolla?
Oh, I don't have anything against Adam Carolla. It's just it's funny to me when he mentions me in his book and on his podcast and all of these other things. I'm like, okay, dude, wow, you're successful, you're rich, you're way more famous than me, and you're still bringing me up. Okay.
I think he must feel like he made it despite you.
Oh, well, yes, and that's part of it. I'll give him that. But I'll bet you that he's got people working for him doing the exact same thing to other people that I did to him.
Absolutely, yeah. He does.
All right, brothers.
Yeah.
I have to go to a meeting, and I apologize. And
we're
going
to
catch
have
up
to
with
have
you
on
time.
Again to discuss, you know, other Kevin Bean stuff and shenanigans. And I'm sure you at one point must have gotten into it with Kevin and Bean at one time or another. So we'd love to have
Not
you on
so
again.
Much.
What?
They handled me more with apathy than with... that's when I knew it was over.
You're still good friends with Bean, right?
Yes, absolutely. It was when they became apathetic. That's when I knew it was over.
All right. Say hi to Taylor.
I will.
Love you, Frank.
See, that was Taylor Swift because he's in Nashville.
What's that? Oh, I didn't just...
Moving on!
So when Frank... I'm you know, kid who doesn't know anything about radio, and I'm doing my best to keep up with the producers at that time. And Bean is over the moon about the chance to bring super producer Frank Murphy into the show. And it was a really big deal to Kevin and Bean when they got Frank. So they always looked up to him. And he ended up leaving. He got in, like, you know, it was time for him to move on. And he went to go work for Mark and Brian for, like, the real bucks. And he went to go work for Mark and Brian
never
for
heard
a while.
That.
And
then, he worked for Mark and Brian.
He did indeed. They wooed him away.
And then he killed their show.
No,
I don't think he did. I think that just...
How long was he over there for?
Only so long you can talk about Elvis, you know?
Right.
A couple of years.
And now he's in Nashville?
He's in Nashville.
From there, he moved to Nashville?
He was doing some showbiz, some PR stuff here in L.A.
Wasn't he in Comedy World, too?
In the late 90s. Yeah. That was that internet...
That internet comedy show.
Where Mike Crank is from, one of our production guys here that works at Jack
and
FM.
All I remember about that is they sold everything they own, so we have some of their chairs. So, yeah.
Their Herman Miller chairs are sweet.
Well, yeah.
Is he still working in radio?
He is. He's on the air. He's going to go do a meeting, and then I think he's on the air at noon.
He's playing records, or what's he doing?
I think he's doing a little of both. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, he's doing a little of both.
Do you know what he's going to have for lunch?
I don't have a clue what he's doing.
Is he playing country, or do you know?
I don't know what the format is, to be honest with you.
Interesting.
So that was Frank, and Frank is awesome. And Dave, you have, let's continue with the email.
Yeah, I got one from Dave Sloan. It says, "Hey guys, please explain why the morning show calls your program director Mr. Weatherby instead of his actual last name of Weatherly."
Do you know the answer, Dave?
I do not know the answer. I came into it, and it was always Mr. Weatherby. So I never asked. So
I think that the genesis is very simple.
All right.
That if we change his name, he wouldn't get mad at us.
All right.
That was pretty. I mean, all
it,
as
I
if
think
as if
it, it just sounds funnier to be, you know, what I mean, Mr. Weatherby than Mr. Weatherly.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
No, it's kind of like there was, you know, the enemy of fun was Trip Reeb, the general manager, and we gave him a different name, and Mr. Weatherby, they couldn't come up with anything that fast, and it was just, and I think there also was a Mr. Weatherby as a comic character, and not Peanuts, but there was some other tie-in that Bean was familiar with, but to us normal schmoes,
so
Mr. Weatherby
was just
funnier.
Let's change his name, and it'll be funny.
Yeah, and
get
also,
mad at us,
and
it's
also,
not him.
Exactly. So when he marches into the air studio, and what are you guys doing here? What you blah, 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 blah. We could, like, we weren't talking about you. I heard my name on the air. No, that was Mr. Weatherby. That was all. It was like same kind of thinking when Bean brought his donkey into the studio. And Scott Mason said, "You can't have a donkey in the studio." And we're like,
"That was a goat.
Was
it a donkey?
It was a goat. You're right. It was a goat.
There's a goat in here.
It's so funny with all the animals he has.
Yeah. He brought his goat. You know
it
what?
Could have been
his donkey balls are in this. We're in the studio, but not. The actual donkey, Happy's balls.
That's right. Happy's balls were here. Yeah.
Happy's balls.
Yeah.
Happy's balls.
So the goat is in the studio, and Scott Mason says, "You guys can't have animals in. You can't have a goat in the studio." And Bean looked him right in the face and goes, "We don't have a goat in the studio."
And so he
turned around and walked away. And there was a goat in the studio.
Yeah.
And by the way, that goat pooped everywhere. I know because I had to clean it up. As a matter of fact, if you go to my Instagram, KRocks Lightning. You will see a picture of Frank Murphy, the guy we just talked to, standing next to that very goat with a puddle of urine on the ground.
Oh my God.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right. And you'll see Bean's like knee just behind the goat there.
Was that in the studio?
That was
in the old Burbank building?
In the Burbank Air Studio.
Why do they bring
the goat
in?
I don't know. Because Bean could, because I don't know.
Because he had a goat? I don't know.
People probably...
Bring your goat to work day?
People don't believe that Kevin and Bean do half the stuff they say. It's like, oh, I have a goat. Sure, whatever, Bean, you got a goat. Well, he brings the goat to work. We're like, you can hear him. And when he craps, it's like a machine gun, like a pellet gun.
Oh, yeah.
And it's just pellets everywhere. So I was sweeping them up.
little poop balls.
Yeah, they're tiny. At least they weren't mushy.
You know, it's funny. The Mr. Weatherby reminds me of the time where Rodney Bingenheimer, legendary K-Rock DJ here.
Schmodney? Schmingenheimer?
No, it was they changed it to Toddney.
Oh,
So Kevin and Bean were ripping on Rodney for a good week straight. I don't know what he did exactly. This is before my time.
Yeah.
So I don't know exactly what he did, but they were ripping on Rodney for a full week straight, and Rodney's followers got word to Rodney that Kevin and Bean were doing this, and management was contacted and were told that you are not to mention Rodney on the Kevin and Bean show. So then management goes to Kevin and Bean and seriously sits them down. And, you know, Kevin and Bean go into meetings where, okay, it's not really serious. It's kind of like be warned that this could happen. But then there's the serious sit-down meetings where they're like, listen, you cannot do this, okay? This is definitely a no situation, okay? No ifs, ands, or buts. The very next day, that kind of talk, by the way, kind of peeves Bean off, okay? He's just like, you know what? We're doing a show that's supposed to be entertaining and fun, okay? If that's what we're doing, we should be allowed to do it. You know, as long as it doesn't exceed the FCC standards, right?
They're supposed to be irreverent as well.
Okay, so then... the very next day after the meeting, they start ripping on Toddney. Okay, so Ralph's doing the Toddney voice, and then they get called into the meeting once again, and they were like, "Dude, you can't make fun of Rodney." And Bean says, "We're not making fun of Rodney. It was Toddney." I was like, "Are you kidding me? That's magic. That's awesome. That's unbelievable."
But it was even better when Kevin used it against Bean. And when they had fired Tad, Kevin brought him back.
Oh, yeah.
That
was spectacular.
Thaddeus.
It's Thaddeus. Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
And I was that's funny because I had just started running the board. Not just started. I was probably running the board for 3-4 months. I got the tail end of the Tattitude. Okay, I got the tail end where Tad and I had very little interaction with each other because I think he thought that he was better than me. You know,
possible.
He just thought that he's just a board operator. So then he got let go. He had this incredible gift of not being given one, two, or three, but he was given so many different chances to not have the Tattitude, to become a good guy, to slow his roll and just kind of chill out and become a part of the Kevin and Bean show. But time after time after time, he decided to ignore the writing on the wall and he got let go. But Jimmy Kimmel, he's a super nice guy.
Yeah.
And he writes to Kevin, he says, "Hey, dude, and by the way, did Tad have some sort of, like, what was Tad's thing with Jimmy? Jimmy had, like, this very big soft spot in his heart for Tad.
He did. He still does.
But why?
Still does.
I never understood that because I probably don't get it because Tad was such a dick to me.
Yeah.
But he just...
No, like, you know, I think he just enjoyed him and he tried to keep him around.
No. There was something
Dave,
real
no,
there.
True. No, there's
there was something real.
Real
there. And I never understood it because, like I said, Tad was such a dick. So he writes... Kevin, and then Kevin just like, okay, maybe give him another shot. And just out of nowhere, Tad's in the building. And I'm like...
In a suit.
I'm like, yeah, in a suit. And I'm like, what is happening? And I stand behind Kevin, and then Tad is standing on the other side of Kevin, right behind his left shoulder.
Okay.
And Mike's show open, mics are up, no mention of Tad. He's just there, okay?
What?
And I'm like, what the hell? And then Bean brings it up. He's like, Kevin. And then he's all like, yes. And then he's like, Bean's all, what's Tad doing here? And Kevin's like, what are you talking about? He's all, Tad, what is he doing here? He's like, he doesn't work here anymore. And Kevin's like, I don't know who you're talking about. This is my assistant, Thaddeus. And I'm like, what? And so
you gotta love Kevin for that.
Yeah, and I don't remember if that was like a serious another chance, if it was serious or just a goof, and it was just a write off.
I think it was because they were scared if they let Tad go, he would kill himself. Or, and I don't mean actually kill himself, like he would just. I don't know, his life would flounder. Or this was the, we knew this was the best his life was going to be, so we had to try to extend it for him.
But by the way, you know? Pretty good, like, life.
Pretty good
I mean,
life.
You know what I mean? I mean, he was a huge
by
part
By the way,
of the
he's
show.
Not dead.
No. For those, close to it, by the way. Well, he, a couple, like a year ago.
We are going to be checking in with him on, yeah. on a very upcoming, an episode coming up. And I think you guys are going to be delighted when you speak with him.
Yeah, and he... He did downward spiral, by the way.
He went...
He had his lows.
Yeah.
And then he went to work for the Jimmy Kimmel Show. Mm-hmm. He could have been the Guillermo.
Yeah.
He could have been the Guillermo, and he just screwed it all up.
Yeah.
Unfortunately. And I think... You know how today we found out that John Jones was tested for steroids, and this is another guy who was given chance after chance after chance. I think there's just people that... Don't learn. It's just in their DNA. Mm-hmm. They just are destined. Is that a word?
Destined.
They're destined to fail, or not fail, but sabotage their own life.
Yeah,
it's just unbelievable. I mean, he had to nearly die to learn, and now he's on the mends. He's getting better. We're gonna check in with him, but it's unbelievable to me that he had the world by the ass and he just squandered it. Right?
He had the world by the ass.
As far as Tad's concerned, yeah. I mean, here's a guy who used to go to Sharky's. Yeah. He used to go to the Palace back in the day. Everybody knew you when you guys would do gigs. Everybody knew Lightning and Tad were coming down. And if Richard Blade was DJing or whatever it was, and Lightning and Tad were there, it was a huge thing, right?
Yeah, there was no limit to the free drinks that were coming our way.
Back then, if it was a K-Rock night anywhere, people in droves rode out to, I mean, I remember as a kid, because I love new wave music, I was like, I wish I could go to a K-Rock night, but I was like, you know,
too young.
12, whatever, you know what I mean?
Tad is humbled. I've had quite a few conversations with Tad over the last year or so, and I think he has been humbled by what's happened to him in his life and where he is now, and he's had a lot of time in a hospital bed to reflect. It'd be really interesting. I know there's a lot of people that never heard Tad on the air that right. are going to be interested to hear Tad's perspective about Kevin and Bean and us and all that. So I'm hoping
before we have Tad on, we should play some of the big Tad moments, like him sitting in a park bench naked and not wanting to do
That's
it.
That's the Tad show, correct?
Right? Yeah.
What was that?
That was the Tad show.
Big Tad in his underpants.
Big Tad in his underpants.
He hated life.
Yeah.
He hated life.
Yeah,
he was
all
complaining
that.
About it. No, I don't want to do this,
Tad's,
man.
Tad's second time or first time?
There was Tad's first time and Tad's second time.
Yeah, Tad's first time and second time.
He lost his virginity on the air?
Well, it was us talking about it. Well, I'll play you the audio because I have that audio. Okay. I actually just saw that yesterday.
Yeah, it was a webcast, from I remember. From what I remember as a listener,
really?
It was a webcast. Yeah.
That's funny. Cause I remember when Kevin, it was Ralph's birthday, and they bought Ralph like a motel room somewhere in Hollywood.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Like,
hey, father's daughter.
What?
The father's daughter.
Yeah.
Really?
That was the motel, yeah.
And then they're all like, hey, if it's Ralph's birthday, if you want to get down there. And ladies showed up,
yes,
right?
Yes, they did.
What
and yes,
hell?
He did.
That's insane, yeah. right? Yeah. Like, now you would not be able to do that on the air. Are you kidding? Soliciting for sex on the air?
Yeah. So, yeah, we'll check in with Tad. How do we get on the Tad topic?
I don't know.
I think the funny names.
That's a very entertaining
Everyone's
got, It was the Weatherby to Taddy.
Oh, yeah,
all the funny names,
thing.
Yeah.
I think that just we all personally, because you guys at home, you don't understand. Like, we're wrapped up in this thing. These things are all very personal to us.
Well, it's,
you
know, well, it's our just lives, like, with, so. Like, yeah, with like radio, it's like we are dysfunctional family. I mean, you know, especially, I've been with the show freaking almost 15 years.
Yeah.
It's crazy to me that, I mean, as cliche as it sounds, time does fly. We spend a lot of time together. But yeah, it's you know, there's no other way to describe it but a dysfunctional family. And you take this kind of work home with you because part of your job is sharing your life. And it's so funny to me. We were talking before the show, before we started recording, that I was DJing a party, a wedding.
Mm-hmm.
shout out to Brett and Casey. They actually listened to the B Team. They're lawyers.
Oh, nice.
They're lawyers, and they kept it so professional. Not that they geeked out or whatever, but after the wedding was over, it was a huge success.
So you didn't know they were fans prior to?
Most of my gigs, I know that people are fans because I get most of my business because they hear me on the Kevin Bean Show or K-Rock. That's probably 90-95% of my business. I'm very lucky that way. So I knew there were fans, but I didn't know how, you know, the level of fandom. And they came up to me and they were telling me this and that. They knew stuff. And it's very humbling that people know this about you and they know your life. It's insane. Uh-oh, beer mugs here.
Mugs. Yeah.
Are we doing this?
Can we sidetrack and do a minute with mugs?
No, for sure. Let's do it. Let's do it.
Who's got to find the intro mugs?
Yep. Sorry.
It's okay.
It's all right.
I came in unannounced.
Okay, no, it's all good.
You're headed to Vegas, right?
I am.
Yeah.
It's going to be wild.
Yeah.
Is it, though? You better go to a strip club, dude.
I hope
Sapphire?
My wife isn't listening. Spearmint Rhino.
Spearmint Rhino? Okay.
Yeah. Rhino?
Yeah. Rhino.
Crazy Horse 3 is good.
Crazy Horse 3 is awesome.
Minute with mugs. Our friend Beer Mug can use some hair plugs. Minute with mugs. Our friend Beer Mug does a lot of drugs. Minute with mugs. Our friend Beer Mug, man, he really bugs. That's why we gave him only one freaking minute. Cause if he really sucks, we'll yell, yo, man, beat it.
God damn it!
1 minute with mugs.
Why you call yourself Beer Mug, then? That means you are always on the, like a little baby boy. Nom, 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 beer. I need a beer. Oh, Beer Mug. Where's my mug? Where's my beer?
Sam's a dick. What a dick that guy is.
We're going to have him on, dude.
We are. Oh, dude.
So, Mugs, you're here for your 1 minute because you did something that Kevin is a master at.
Yeah, I tend to follow in Kevin's footsteps a lot.
You were filling in this week or last week for Chip,
mm-hmm.
and we had the legendary Stan Lee.
Yeah,
on the phone,
mm-hmm.
speaking with Ralph, Allie, and Bean.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone's having a good time. They're saying their goodbyes, and this happens.
So you keep doing what you're doing, man. Never stop. All right.
Okay. Thanks a million. It was great talking to you.
Take care.
Bye, bye.
The U.S. Open may be over.
Whoa. What happened?
So
he's still talking and you're just, no, I'm done.
Well, here's the thing. I mean, Omar might know this because he's been in that position.
Oh, I know.
And Kevin for sure knows this. Lightning, you might have a little bit of an idea. But it's really hard to gauge when the guest is going to stop talking because you got to be in and out in radio. It's live radio. You got to hit the commercial.
It's all about momentum.
Right.
Yes. You want to keep it going. You know what I mean? And this is all stemming from Weatherby. This is all Mr. Weatherby. He's the guy. My first, when I sat down, learned the board, he's all momentum. He's like, keep it going. Keep it tight. Keep it super tight.
Yes. So this is a certain time where momentum did not work in my favor. And I thought he was done talking. I didn't mean to hang up on him.
He was talking the whole time.
No, but I thought he
never paused.
But he kind of did, though.
No,
Let's listen again.
The U.S. Open may be over, but the top.
Wait, Omar, start from the top, Omar. So you keep doing what you're doing, man. Never stop, all right?
Okay, thanks a million. It was great talking to you.
Take care.
Bye-bye. The U.S. Open may be over.
Okay.
What was he saying?
He was straight talking. His phone might have cut out a little bit, but he was in the middle of a sentence, and you just hit the button. You just went, no more stand for you.
When Mr. Lee said, great talking to you guys, I took that as my out cue, and I hit the commercial. Now, in retrospect, a professional board op would have potted the phone pot down.
Turned him down, sure.
But I did not do that. So it sounded, it did. I mean, I stepped all over the legendary Stanley. I'm not proud of it. And you could, you know, tweet me, Instagram me, all the crap you want, probably for the rest of my life. But
do you have something to say to Mr. Stanley?
Stan, I love you and I'm sorry.
All right, Muggs, I know you have a flight to catch, so we're actually going to take that, and we're going to actually play the best of Kevin's hang-ups. Yeah. Okay, because that's a good lead.
Yeah, Kevin is the master of hanging up on people.
All right, so thanks, Muggs.
You're welcome, guys.
Have a good flight. We'll
Bye.
See you in Vegas.
Woohoo!
1 minute with Muggs. 1 minute, 1 minute with Muggs.
All right, so as I mentioned, we have a bunch.
Wait, yeah. Omar, that was actually the first time we've actually only spent a minute
with Muggs. Yeah, that is funny.
I like it. You should catch flights all the time.
That's funny. But yeah. So I knew we were doing this, and then Dave sent out, oh, yeah, he hung up on Megan Fox and Bono. And then, but I ran into a bunch of them that I don't remember hearing.
Oh, really? So we have
okay,
more.
So yeah. There's like maybe six or seven of
and
them.
And these aren't like, I know we made a song for Kevin's hangups. Are these included in that? Or is this just all ones that you found?
No, these are the ones that I just found. And I don't know, when these, but the first one we have queued up is Kevin Bacon. Check it out.
Well, the movie looks real good, Kevin. The Darkness opens everywhere on Friday. It's always a lot of fun to catch up with you, man. Thanks for the time.
Thanks a lot for your help, guys.
You bet. Thank you.
Living in
Still talking. Wasn't done.
This is Lake Bell.
Oh. Always great to have you on the Kevin Beecher. Thanks so much for the time.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Jesus!
She was about to start another sentence.
Yes.
You know, it's funny. Probably 80% of the time, Kevin steps on himself. He'll hit the commercial and cut himself off.
His own words.
Yeah, his own words. So every time after the first break, he'll say, and we'll be right back with the Showbiz beat next. And I always have to like chop out the word next.
Yeah, it's because it's only half net. So,
yeah, because he slams himself with the commercial. this is him cutting off Danny Elfman.
Be on the Kevin Bean Show, man. We enjoyed talking to you.
Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Whoa! You can't just give it a half a beat.
Okay, I don't know who these are. We'll find out.
Corby Brand is our guest. You can find him at Church of Superheroes at Facebook. Thanks for the time, Corby. Good luck to you, sir.
Thanks, guys. Have a great.
By the way, that might be the one that started it all.
Oh, really?
Because that was the superhero church guy, and that's when we started noticing that Kevin wouldn't allow guests who finished talking at say goodbye.
That's funny.
I felt like it was somebody bigger that started it all off.
No, really?
It was him?
That was the first one, and then Paul McCartney
was
the one.
We have some big ones coming up.
Yeah.
This is Megan Fox.
Thanks, Megan. Have a great weekend.
Right. Thank you, bud.
He has no time for her.
I mean, we don't know if it was just going to be thank you or it was thank you, guys. I really enjoyed your show.
Exactly. Thank you.
Yeah. So here's Brooke Shields, and I'm going to play you two different Brooke Shields ones. The first one is going to be what happened on the air. The second clip is us taking the commercials out of it. Oh. So let's hear the original one that made the air.
Follow Ms. Shields on Twitter at Brooke Shields. Hey, thanks for the time. We enjoyed it.
Thank you, guys.
It's Cerritos Hollow Square's 2-week Black Friday sale.
Obliterated her.
Okay.
Now, she had more to say, obviously.
Yeah, she totally had more to say.
Yeah, check
and
it out.
Listen to the disappointment in her voice. Oh. It's like we crushed her soul.
Follow Ms. Shields on Twitter at Brooke Shields. Hey, thanks for the time. We enjoyed it.
Thank you, guys. I listen when I'm in LA. I listen to you guys.
Oh, I feel so bad for her. He didn't even hang up on her. Oh, he just hit the commercials and left her hanging.
Just had her
so up. All she's hearing is commercials. Like, all right, I'm out.
She's so nice. So I feel so bad. Funny.
Oh, my God. I don't think we've had her on since then. So sorry, Brooke.
Nice work, Kevin.
Yeah.
This one's funny because I'm not sure who this is, but as soon as the commercial hits, you hear Ellie lose it.
And it's always fun to catch up with you on the Kevin Bean Show. We appreciate you calling.
Oh, man, thank you very much. I look forward to you to see the film because I think it's outdone Felony. I really do.
Fantastic. Thank you, Joel.
Thanks, man. Have a great one.
Summertime is time for the 25th.
That was Joel Edgerton.
Who's that?
Joel Edgerton. Oh. Yeah.
But you hear Ellie laughing in the commercial.
Summertime is time for the 25th.
Yeah, her mic is on.
Her cackle.
Her mic is on, but the guest isn't, you know.
Oh, that's so funny.
Dog.
I think this is McCartney, maybe. Let's see.
I don't know if we'll ever have a chance to do this again, Sir Paul, but thank you so much for the time. It's a real honor to have you on the program today.
That's a really nice interview. So, I hope to see you at the gig.
Absolutely, sir. Thanks for the call.
Let's make it a date.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
See you guys. Bye.
Oops.
Can't get a bite.
Paul McCartney. While he was saying goodbye.
I think that okay was it. Oops.
Yeah. This one, by the way, because Kevin's a huge U2 fan and loves Bono. And again, on this one, you could hear Ali laughing towards the end of it over the commercial.
Sir, great to talk to you. We'll see you again in a little bit, all right?
We feel the same about you. Really do, K-Rock. Thanks.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
See you, Kevin. See you.
The world's biggest band in the smallest club they've played in 4 decades.
You know how baseball players get in a groove and go on a hit streak?
Yeah.
Kevin, for a while, was going on a streak where he would hang up on everybody. So that, from Paul to Bono, I think that's when he was on his hot streak of just hanging up on people and could just not give people the chance to say goodbye.
Bye. Yeah.
Thank you.
Just give him a breath. That's just funny. A beat.
So then I had to pay homage to Kevin, and I came up with this song.
Follow Ms. Shields on Twitter at Brooke Shields. Hey, thanks for the time. We enjoyed it.
Thank you, guys. I listen to
Cerritos Hall Square's 2-week Black Friday sale going on now.
And I know you can be a celebrity or just an average Joe. And you bet Kevin's hanging up on you. Oh, he just hung up.
Corby Brand is our guest. You can find him at Church of Superheroes at Facebook. Thanks for the time, Corby. Good luck to you, sir.
Thanks, guys. Have a great day.
You can be Brooke Shields or Bono. You can be Megan Fox or Sir Paul.
And it's always fun to catch up with you on the Kevin Bean Show. We appreciate you calling.
Oh, man, thank you very much. I look forward to you to see the film. So I think it's out done selling it. I really do.
Fantastic. Thank you, Joel.
Thanks, man. Have a good one.
Thanks, Megan. Have a great weekend.
Thank you, bye.
Sir, great to talk to you. We'll see you again in a little bit, all right?
We feel the same about you. Really do, K-Rock. Thanks.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Kevin.
I just can't stop hanging up on you.
I don't know if we'll ever have a chance to do this again, Sir Paul, but thank you so much for the time. It's a real honor to have you on the program today.
Listen, that's a really nice interview. So, I hope to see you at the gig.
Absolutely, sir. Thanks for the call.
Make it a day.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
See you guys.
Bye. Oops.
You hung up on Paul McCartney.
While he was saying goodbye.
That was Dave's idea, by the way.
Oh, yeah. Good job there, Dave. Yeah.
Kevin's oops.
I let off a firework and it burned the house down. Oops.
Yeah. So good.
How are we getting into this? How are we introducing Chip? Just like this? Hi, Chip.
Hey, Chip. Here. Yay.
Hey.
Beer mug and Chip. Oh, boy. We're bringing all the heavy guns out.
You know it.
And Chip just, she's in a band and she actually has real musical talent. And she plays bass on Well Hung Heart. And she recently went to Sturgis, right?
Oh, yep. The motorcycle rally up there.
And she had a hell of an experience. She drove up there with in a motorhome. And just we wanted to hear some about your experience up there and definitely wanted to hear about you playing for strippers.
Sure.
Wait, what? Oh.
Yeah.
Your stage was always packed, right?
Yes. Omar, our stage. So here's the thing with Sturgis, too. Let's face it, unless you're Ozzy who played the festival or Blink who played the festival, no one's buying a ticket to see us. The couple days, there'd be... I'll be honest, we had like 10 people sometimes, and we're playing 3 hours.
That's
but
rough.
But as
and
the week...
Five of those people were the people in the band.
Six, yeah. But as the week went on, our word of mouth came around. We had bigger and bigger sets.
You gotta check out this band. They're so awful.
Yeah. How dare you? So that's the draw. It's like, okay, are you good enough to make people want to come see you? And by the end of the festival, we had tons of people. So at this one tent where there's like girls dancing, they're dancing like 10 feet from us giving lap dances while we're playing. So like you're like, now you're competing with girls. Like, they're like, we can't compete with that. But at some point, we actually were winning the battle of attention. And so some of the girls were coming on stage and like wanting to dance with us. And we're like, get the hell
why
out of
here.
Why
didn't you just give them a soundtrack?
Why would you play like Cherry Pie?
I'm going back right now.
Bump and grind.
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with a little bump and grind. Oh, yeah.
I just had Omar sing it.
And where can people hear your band?
Band.com.
Band.com.
wellhungheart.com, and also we're on Spotify, iTunes, Facebook, Instagram, all that stuff.
Cool.
Well-hung heart. Okay.
You're thanks, good. Chip.
You want me to do one more email and then close it out?
Yeah. Let's go through some more email, Dave.
All right. You could go.
No, you go first.
All right. I got an email.
Can I go?
You don't have one.
No, I don't have one. Yeah. Oh. Sorry.
I got an email from Trevor. It's a two-parter, but he's like, I have two questions. Every morning, Bean's intro mix has a few clips that are consistent. The 1, 2, 3, what did it say?
Bad boy?
No, he said,
I said 1, 2, 3, Red Wars.
He doesn't know what it says.
He's like, 1, 2, 3, Red Wars.
Red Wars, B-I-G-I or something. What's the story behind the ones that make it into every morning? All right, so that's one question.
Okay.
So let's hear that. Let's hear that. Much about. You got to put it in
too many endings, not enough beginnings. We need something to begin. And I have just the thing. An underground dance competition. I'm realizing I know nothing about the logistics of how to start an underground dance competition. But someone here will.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G.
Well, you can stop it there, Omar. Yeah. I think what the listener is questioning is that first piece there.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
So the 1, 2, 3, B-I-G, 4, 5, 6, bad boy. What is it? What does it say again?
1, 2, 3,
bad boy.
4, 5, 6,
B-I-G.
Okay. That was after B-I-G died, and Puff Daddy had a concert,
yeah.
And that was audio from their pre-show, like prayer, you know, hype session.
Yeah, their circle.
Yeah. A lot of bands will do that, you know.
Yeah.
Coldplay, they'll get
ritual.
In there and they'll...
They get pumped before the show and it's their last group huddle. So that's what it is. It's a huddle. And,
where we got the audio, I don't know. Bean found
I think it was televised. I think it was a special that... And it was like a concert for Biggie or something like that. And I think that's where Bean got it.
And the beginning part that... I think the beginning part where it says, let's begin from the beginning. That's Mr. Echo, right?
Yeah.
There's certain times, like Bean just finds certain things like funny, or they just hit him right, and he'll just stick with it. I mean, yeah. So
a lot of times they're just topical, or he's got a catalog of hundreds of them.
For me,
New Day,
it's a tribute to Rick Dees,
yeah,
because Rick Dees was such a huge part of their show because they would mock Rick Dees endlessly. So
it's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2.
So we started playing that little bit when Rick Dees retired.
Yeah, it's a new day.
Yeah.
Let's get going.
Yeah. Oh, man. But this is possibly my favorite part of the show, is with all these clips together like this and the end of Bogart when Bean just puts together all these clips.
By the way,
he does such a great job at
it. He does such an amazing job with it. And it's live. Once I started working inside the studio, they would have these replay machines.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, two boxes with 50 keys on each, and those 50 keys are hotkeys, so you could press them and they'll instantly play audio. And they also have a search feature. These things back in the day were really high tech because they could store about 10 hours of wave audio, mm-hmm. high quality audio, and recall it just instantly, right, after you search it. So all he had me do is that we had this bed called Organize, which is the little organ that you hear. So all I was in charge of is hitting that. So in the morning, he would play his little, 1, 2, 3, bad boy. And then I would go doo-doo-doo. And he would freestyle the entire thing. It was like bananas. Like, you don't pre-record that? Because for me, I work in the realm of production, like, producing something.
Placing things here.
Right, exactly.
There. What sounds right, what doesn't.
It's like Skrillex writing a song. It's all in pieces, and it's on the computer in advance.
It's almost like an art form. It's a freestyle kind of thing. It's like he's, like, just playing samples, almost like an instrument.
And he never messes up.
I don't know if that sounds ridiculous. He doesn't.
No, he never messes up, and it sounds good.
It's so funny because there was one time where he was on vacation, and I didn't, I was in charge of pre-mixing. You know, I mean, that's how I would do it. And I didn't do an outro for the Dome Bogart. And Bean, he knows how many seconds are in the little dead space of that song. So he knows which ones would fit. So I would try to play one, and it would just, kill the lyrics. All the vocals would be, like, buried with it, whatever drop I was playing. But yeah, he's masterful at it.
All right, there's a second question to Trevor's email. And that's, what's the deal with Kevin's voice? In your throwback clips and even times when KMB play their own on air, Kevin's voice sounds so different. Did Kevin's balls drop a second time much later in life? Love the podcast.
Trevor.
I think, guys,
sent from my iPhone.
Yeah, I think that is that's a result of two things. A, all those bits were on tape; they were on reel to reel back in the day, and you never knew.
Glug glug glug. Nah,
that's the reel, right? Glug glug.
You never knew if those tapes were playing back at the right speed.
Right.
Like, so even two or three percent.
But beat sounds pretty much the same. There's a little difference, but dude,
I mean,
Kevin
sounds the same.
Yeah.
Sort of.
I was going to give you two options. I was going to give you two. Option A is that when the reel to reel, because these all had to be digitized.
Okay.
So a lot of that I did. Right, so they went from the reel to reel to.
So the first one is lightning being nice.
Maybe the playback was at the wrong speed.
Okay.
The other one is just he was just hypey back then. He was coming out of like a top 40 station in Arizona, and he just spoke like this. He was kind of like blah blah, you know.
No,
he was up there in that register.
I got the answer.
Okay.
Yeah, you know that the movie, the true story about that guy who didn't hit puberty till about 30.
Uh huh.
Kevin.
No. Yeah, story about Kevin.
That's funny. No, but there might be something on to that little, the second theory you have there, because Kevin, both Kevin and Bean were flamethrowers back in the day.
Yes.
They were top 40 DJs. They're flamethrowers, you know? It was a Lean Gene Bean Baxter coming at you. And Kevin, there's no audio of Kevin doing it, though, which is so sad.
Not true. Yes, there is.
I'm going to bring it in
in a future episode.
From the Party Patrol or whatever?
Was this KZZP?
Guys, I have from two different stations.
Okay, yeah, because the KZZP is in flame. I think I've heard a couple of clips, and it's still with Bean. It's not him solo.
I think we have some solo.
I've never heard. I don't think I've ever heard any of Kevin.
I've never heard Kevin solo
because he's so just not a flamethrower.
He doesn't want that out there.
Is he talking over like disco records?
He's talking over. It's like current top 40.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Back in the day.
I can't wait. That's amazing. Yeah. That's amazing. I've never heard any of that stuff. Like, but Bean like rolls around like a pig in slop. He loves it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And he's like, yeah, that was, he thinks, yeah, top notch, you know? Like, you know, he's like,
nailed it.
Totally,
yes.
Totally.
Hit
you know
the post.
I mean? But yeah, you're so right with Kevin. Yeah, he doesn't want to get any of that stuff out there. So,
I have an email here from Kevin Dolan. I was at the Bleed in Reseda. Michael, the maintenance man, was my carpool pal. And I won the Burial of the Balls contest with over 700 Kiss FM balls of summer. I am not a dork, Kevin says. And I wanted to revisit the balls of summer. Do you guys have any idea what I'm talking about?
I have no idea. I'm going to be thinking this has something to do with Bean's Donkey's balls.
Nope.
Okay.
No, it sounds like it was a Kiss FM.
Yeah, that's right. Balls so Kiss summer. FM yeah. had a okay. Kiss no. FM had a promotion with, I think, it was either 76 or it was one of the gas stations, and they were passing out these foam rubber balls that go on your antenna.
Antenna balls.
Right, exactly. Yeah. Antenna balls. And they all said Kiss. They were like Nerf balls.
Right.
They said Kiss, and they were passing them out all over the place, all over Southern California.
By the
and
way, we couldn't remember any time like Jack in the Box or a gas station, those were huge.
Yes, they were.
They were huge.
Yes, they were. Well, people don't really have antennas these days.
Right.
You know, it's a little nub on the top of your car. So Kiss FM was crushing it. These balls of summer, they just say KISS, they were everywhere and we could not escape them. And we were trying to figure out how do we get rid of these things. So we started doing various campaigns like we'll trade you a t-shirt for every ball you turn in, whatever. Like, no matter what we tried, we couldn't mitigate the number of balls that were out there.
So people were stealing the balls off the
That's yes, they were. So then so we had people, thousands of listeners, nabbing the balls off of cars. And we're like, hey, don't get shot, don't get hurt, like don't piss anybody off. But if you can snake one, grab a ball of summer. And then what we decided to do was get all the balls, gather them together. Whoever had the most balls won a prize. I don't remember what the prize was. Mm-hmm. We're going to take all these balls, and we were going to put them in a casket, and we were going to bury them.
I thought you were going to burn them.
No, we were going to bury them, and we were going to have a ceremony. So I want to play you some of the audio from that Burial of the Balls.
Kevin and Bean live from Garden Grove. Hey, it's the Burial of the Balls. We've been waiting for this for several months now, ladies and gentlemen. It's about time. Today is the culmination of a lot of work from a lot of hard K-Rock listeners. And
not slurring, not Kevin that I know.
Wait a minute.
And that's crazy.
Listen more carefully.
Okay.
Months now, ladies and gentlemen. It's about time. Today is the culmination of a lot of work from a lot of hard...
Use culmination, right?
Yeah.
And said it clearly.
Clear. Super
but
clear.
Guys, he said hard K-Rock listeners.
Months now, ladies and gentlemen. It's about time. Today is the culmination of a lot of work from a lot of hard K-Rock listeners.
And let me, you know,
so he He's still the Kevin that we love.
Yes, he was.
Oh, I love
that. Just said it more clearly.
From a lot of hard K-Rock listeners. And let me, you know, a lot of work from a lot of hard K-Rock listeners. As a matter of fact, I see some of them.
Can we turn that into a moment with?
Yes.
We got to do that. We got to turn that into a moment with. A flashback moment with. That's awesome.
He still didn't get it right, by the way.
Oh, my God. Oh, I love that.
It's about time. Today is the culmination of a lot of work from a lot of hard K-Rock listeners. And let me, a lot of work from a lot of hard K-Rock listeners. As a matter of fact, I see some of them in the crowd today. All right, we had a contest going for concert tickets. What's your name?
Rick.
Rick, how many balls of summer have you brought to the burial today?
107.
107. Third place winner right here, ladies and gentlemen, for concert tickets. Your name is?
Jerry.
Jerry, how many balls of summer have you brought today?
359.
359 balls of summer, ladies and gentlemen. Who knew, by the way, that 359 balls of summer would not win first place?
Yeah.
But it didn't. You are?
Ducky. I came with 760, but I gave one away.
759 balls of summer, ladies and gentlemen. A job well done. You have rid the city of the awful blight that is the ball of summer. Now, where did you get them from? Did you go through a Jack in the Box?
San Clemente, Laguna Niguel, Dana Point. There's none left.
Very nice. Ducky, very nice. Ducky is man with too much time on his hands, man.
No, but he has made the streets safe in those areas, and we appreciate it.
We're proud to say this doesn't happen very often because, you know, ours is the show on the air in Los Angeles that really doesn't get the big guests. But we do. We are proud to say it. The Reverend Jesse Jackson is here, ladies and gentlemen.
Thank you. Thank you. Dearly beloved, we are gathered here.
Who's that?
I believe that's Brian Suits, Big Leo.
Really?
Yeah, who's now on KFI, I believe.
Yeah. I thought it was going to be Jimmy doing that.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here to pay our final respects in a non-dorky way. Little yellow spongy spheres, we bury them, but shed no tears. Amen. For we have gathered here amid the pelsipans, beneath the allegedly carcinogenic power lines. Testify.
Oh, yeah. All right, his Jesse sucks, but he's pretty funny.
Yeah, yeah.
Did you use the word carcinogenic?
Carcinogenic. K-Rock's Kevin.
This is unbelievable. It's so silly and dumb. Are you kidding?
It was epic. So this happened. Yeah, this happened at Peltzer Pines, a Christmas tree farm that a friend of mine owned.
My Christmas trees from.
Yes.
I have to go cut one down. It sucks.
Yep. So we had a backhoe and we dug a giant hole and we had a casket and a hearse that delivered all the balls.
Yeah. Where at? Do you think it's still there?
Oh, I mean, the tree farm's still
there.
No, is it?
Because no, the casket.
Where is it? Which one? Because if it was in Irvine, that's
not in Irvine.
Now. Is it the one in off the 40, you know,
no,
in the
no.
Canyon?
This was at, I want to say it's in either Garden Grove or Orange.
Oh, yeah. That's still there. Do you think that casket's still there?
I don't know.
How deep would it be?
I haven't talked to Charlie, my buddy, Charlie Peltzer, who his parents own that Christmas tree farm. That's how we ended up there. I haven't spoken to him in a bunch of years.
Let's go dig it up.
How funny would it be?
Can you imagine?
It was still there.
And all those Kiss FM balls
there.
I can't imagine
they bought a casket. Did you guys buy one?
It was donated. Someone donated a real casket and a hearse.
You guys were able to do that sort of stuff. Yeah. Okay. That's right.
So two for two. I'm putting this. All right. So if you go to K-Rox Lightning on Instagram. Photograph of me standing next to the casket with all the balls in it, and inside on top of the balls is a cardboard cutout of Rick Dees. So we buried Rick Dees and the Balls of Summer, and we put dirt on it. Yeah,
that's funny.
To put to rest the Balls of Summer, for Kiss FM, it's a radio bummer. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Can I testify?
Oh, yeah.
The grave is dug. The digger is sleeping. But at K-Rock, nobody's weeping. Can I get an amen? The Balls of Summer gave us much mirth, but that won't stop us from covering them with the earth. Can I get a witness? It's time to bury our balls. Can I get an amen, please?
Amen.
The only thing we're sad about is that it's not Rick Dees. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
How many people were there? Sounds like a pretty good crowd.
Couple hundred.
Wow.
Sounds like a fun crowd, yeah.
Yeah.
The Balls of Summer have come and gone, but much to our sadness, Kiss FM is still on. Can I get a witness?
I love that. That's funny.
Kiss FM made a promotional blunder, and now we place them 6 feet under. Can I get an amen? Can I get a witness? And a bag of chips.
Yeah.
Thank you, Jesse.
Thank you very much.
You know, the beautiful thing about the Reverend is, I don't care what it is, man. If it's the DWP workers that are protesting, if it's a bus strike in Minnesota, Jesse Jackson is always there, isn't he?
That's true.
Free the bus drivers, Kevin and Bean.
I hear you.
Amazing grace.
Legit, dude. We're going. We're yeah, going full throttle. It's Barry.
Oh my God!
Amazing grace.
Oh. All right, here we go. Picking up the casket now. Very good. Now you don't just drop it, right? Don't you kind of
lower it slowly?
Come on around. Hey, while we're doing this, how about a moment of silence? All right, that's enough. That's fine. Casket is now about 1 inch off the ground.
Okay, ready to go.
Lower it down, dude.
Lower the casket. Lowering. Burying slowly. The balls.
Slowly.
Ladies and gentlemen. Slowly. The casket is now in the ground and is now resting comfortably on the bottom, closed with a wreath of flowers on top. Ladies and gentlemen, the balls of summer are no more.
Thank you!
Thank you, President. Thank you.
What'd you think?
Kevin and Bean used to do a lot of fun stuff. I'm so pissed at you right now.
Well, so for Kevin, the listener, thanks for emailing us about the balls of summer. That was a fun memory for me.
That's crazy. I still think we should dig it up. We should go find it and just start digging in the Peltzer farms. Not even ask them. Just start digging.
Just go.
Just start digging.
It was 6 foot down, dude. I don't know where it is.
Well, we can dig. We have time.
I know where the farm is, but I don't think we'd be able to find it.
The bleeder.
No, why are you playing that?
I just like that audio. It's awesome.
Okay, well, the bleeder is here. I feel like we've covered a lot of ground today,
yeah,
guys.
Yeah, I thought that was good.
How do you feel? Omar, are you good?
I'm good. I'm good. I'm really
Is there anything
good.
We missed? I got a lot of show. The next one, I have too much
I can't
for
wait
the next.
I can't wait to hear Kevin, Top 40 Kevin.
Top 40 Kevin,
Top
Tad.
30, yeah.
We
got a lot coming up, so it's going to be fun.
And most of these ideas that we're doing is because of your emails, so make sure you hit us up. Omar at KROQ.com.
Yep, Lightning at KROQ.com.
King of Mexico at KROQ.com.
And we'll try to get to everything. So far, so good. All the suggestions have been amazing.
Yeah, and thanks for the kind words, man. Thanks for the tweets. Thanks for the emails. Thanks for the Afro calls. If you want to leave a message, you can call the Afro line at 323-520-AFRO-2376.
The B Team. Yeah! The B Team. The B Team.
Oh, that's right.
The B Team. Baby!
Yeah.
So we're done, right?
We're done. Yeah, I've got a meeting with Mr. Weatherby. I really do. Yeah. I don't know what it's about. It's the scary part. Are you still recording this, Omar?
Yeah. Just hold on. I want to put a extra secret bonus track, but we could chop it out if you guys don't think it's worth it. This is the song that we never aired on K-Rock because I think it was too graphic. It's about poop.
Oh my gosh.
Oh. I gotta find it though.
Okay. All right, we'll just wait.
We're waiting.
Play the waiting song. No, that's Jeopardy.
Didn't Bean have a waiting
song? Yeah, he does.
Like,
he has.
Let's wait, we're waiting.
Oh, yeah, it's Mr. Rogers.
Yeah.
Let's do something while we're waiting. Oh, is this it?
Oh, this is Omar's song. Yeah.
I have a sore butthole. I've been sitting on the toilet bowl. But dude, this is a bad number two.
Never got played because I guess it was a little bit too graphic for the radio.
Can't imagine why.
I feel the fear coming on. And so I pucker really strong. But I can't keep it in too long.
Not hitting that note.
Nope. It gets worse.
Oh my God, here it comes. Diarrhea.
Oh.
You come out my butt just like a flood. Diarrhea. God, it's coming out. It looks like mud.
We're like 11 years old.
I think this is the reason why we couldn't play it on air.
Got a little bit. It's still coming out my back door. That was a lot of poo. That's all she wrote. Diarrhea. You came out my butt just like a flood. Diarrhea. You came so sudden and now we're done. Diarrhea. There's so much it won't flush down. Diarrhea. The entire bathroom just turned brown. Diarrhea. And now I don't know what to do.
Little bonus for you guys. Hope you guys enjoy it.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.